If you have your Bibles, let me see if I can find mine. Where is mine? That's mine. Praise God. I need my weapon. All right. Hold your Bibles up in the air. Wait a minute, devil's face.
That is mine.
Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
God's Word.
God's Word.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
And my Bible is.
And my Bible is.
God's Word.
God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is
the revelation
of His will
for my life. Whatever it says I am,
that's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are hopefully, and I do believe we will complete today our teaching series on how to get anything you want from God. Has anybody at all benefited from this teaching? You don't have to raise your hands, just let me hear a shout, hallelujah, or whatever have you. Have you benefited anything at all from this teaching?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, a few of you, glory to God. I'm glad some, if this teaching was only for one or two of you, then thank you, Jesus. Let's turn to Psalm 37. I know the rest of y'all just shy. Well, make your voices heard, glory to God. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God says in his word that he will give you the desires of your heart. There are some people who say, yes, God will meet your needs, but not your wants. But that's not true at all, because there are, as you have seen from this series, that God will meet your desires. You have seen from a number of passages of scriptures that God goes beyond just your basic needs and even wants to fulfill your desires. He has only asked for one prerequisite, which is that you delight yourself in Him.
Amen.
See, when you are delighting yourself in God, then your desires will be godly. You will not be asking for crazy, stupid, off the wall, unbiblical things that you know are not pleasing to Him. So delighting myself in Him gives me a whole wide range of things in which I can receive from the hand of God. See, God is not limited. You are only limited by your faith in God or your capacity to ask things from God. God wants to do great things in your life. He wants to do big things in your life. He wants to do wonderful things in your life. He wants to get you to college. He wants to get you to whatever type of school you're wanting to go to. He wants you to get that job that you want. He wants you to get that level of income that you want. He wants you to have that house that you want, that car that you want. God desires that you have these nice things. Praise God.
Amen.
However, if you are not delighting yourself in Him, and you say, I'm going to get this nice car, but don't even think about getting in my car. This nice new upholstery I got in here smells new. Don't mess up my newness. Then, you know, God can't bless you. So if you want to get things that you want from God, listen to me. If you want to get things that you want, that you truly desire from God, then there are certain things you've got to do, or certain heart adjustments you're going to have to make in your life so that you will be able to receive exactly what you want from God. And so we've learned from the Bible several things that we should be doing in our lives in order to ensure that we can get anything that we want from Him. We learn first that we ought to check our motive for wanting the thing that we claim to want. Make sure that we have right motives. Say that with me. Say, make sure.
I have right motives.
God wants you to make sure that you have right motives. Wrong motives, you get nothing from God. Right motives, God will bless you. Praise God. That's in James chapter 4. Next thing we learn, we ought to search the scriptures and or seek the Lord to be sure that our desire is in line with what God desires for us to have. If we don't seek the scriptures, we don't know what God's will is for us. The Word of God is the revelation of His will. The Word of God reveals the Word of God to us. Praise God. Now, there are some things that are not covered in the Word that are specific. And that's where the Spirit of God still speaks today. He speaks to every believer. He is in your heart. He talks to you. You've just got to learn to hear His voice. Amen. One of these days, we're going to teach a series on how to hear the voice of God. But until we get there, just learn to meditate. Learn to spend time in quiet prayer before God. And remember that He speaks on the inside. Not so much through an audible voice. I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to people in audible voices, but you've got to be careful about that, because the devil also speaks to people in audible voices and pretends that he's God. Praise God. I remember... I was telling this story a couple of weeks ago at the Bible study. I remember when I was in this hotel. I was in Michigan, Battle Creek, Michigan. And I came from Japan for a conference. So in Japan, when it's nighttime, it's daytime in Battle Creek. When it's nighttime in Battle Creek, it's daytime in Japan. And so every time I had to go to one of these conferences, I had a difficult time adjusting my body. And so I would be at the conference trying to fight the sleep, trying to keep myself awake. And as soon as the conference is over and I got to my hotel room, I went. And so, of course, after I sleep, then I'm waking myself up like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And since I can't go to sleep, I start praying. So I spent maybe an hour or two with God one night, just praying. I think I finished maybe about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I decided, since I still couldn't sleep, let me just take a bath. You know, in Japan, they don't have a lot of bathtubs. So, you know, when I go to a hotel and find a bathtub, I take advantage of it. And so I would just soak, you know, just praying, reading scriptures, and decide to soak in the bathtub. And then I heard this audible voice. Troy, this is God. Now, let me ask you a question. Do y'all think I believe that was God? No. Of course I didn't. It could have been one of two things. It could have been somebody playing a practical joke, but I don't know who would waste their time waking up 3 o'clock in the morning praying a practical joke. Or it could have been the voice of the devil. See, because I know how God speaks to me. God doesn't speak to me with these dramatic overtones. Troy, I am God. See, that voice was too dramatic. It was too
theatrical.
Yes, that's a good word. And I just said, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get out of my room. And I didn't hear that voice anymore. Now, when somebody playing a practical joke, they probably got scared and ran down the hall. But whatever it was, I would not receive the voice as God, because I knew already how God speaks to me in my heart. And He doesn't speak that way to me. God speaks to me like a regular person. You know, when I'm messing up, He says, Troy, you messed up again. That's the way God talks. Let's get this right. You know, God can talk to you like if you're a homeboy, God will talk to you like a homeboy. All right, that's the way God talks. He talks to people. He meets us on our level. Praise God. So be careful about these audible voices. So when you're seeking God, when you're trying to find out what God's will is for your life, make sure that you learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that there are many voices out in the world. and none without significance. So you need to learn to hear the voice of God. It takes time, it takes practice, praise God. But you can learn to hear from God. God speaks to his people today, and he wants to speak to you and have fellowship with you. The third thing we learned is recognize that it is God's intense desire to give us the desires of our heart when our requests are prayed in line with his will and our right motives. God longs for you to have certain things more than you long to have them. You know, God is rooting for you. God wants you to have certain things. I think it breaks his heart that you don't get these things. And you say, but he's God. He's all powerful. Why can't he just give them to me? Because God does not violate certain principles and free will. Although he's all powerful and almighty, he expects you to do certain things. And if you don't do them, then you lose out. Praise God. The next thing you need to learn is to meditate on the Word of God. If the Word of God is consistent with your desires, then you meditate on those promises until they've gotten deep down inside of you. Because the Bible says that if you abide in me and my Word abides in you, ask for what ye will and it shall be done. See, if the Word of God is not abiding in you, then faith cannot be developed. Because if the Word of God is not in you, then something else is going to be in you. Usually it's doubt and unbelief. The reason a lot of people fail at this step because they are just plain lazy. People are just too lazy. They're too lazy to take time out with the Word of God. They want things to happen instantly. Well, you need to learn to meditate on the Word of God. Praise God. Amen. I have been successful in prayer mostly because I have taken the time to read this over and over again. Sometimes I won't even waste my time talking to God until I have gotten this thing in me. Praise God. Amen. After you develop your faith, then you go before God and you petition him for the thing that you want. That's the fifth thing you need to do. Why? You know, some people might say, well, that's a given. I already know to do that. Well, you won't believe how many people I have talked to in the past who thinks that God should just give it to them whether they ask for it or not. They don't think that they should have any part to play. If I ask, fine. If I don't, fine. If it's God's will, he'll give it to me regardless of whether or not I ask. But see, that is so unbiblical and unscriptural. You have got to understand that the Bible teaches, ask and you shall receive. Ye have not because ye ask not. That's the simple principle of scripture. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But then the next verse goes down and say, but they would have none of me. God said, I was telling them to open their mouth wide and I would fill it, but they rejected me. They wouldn't even have anything to do with me. So God says that you can be blessed if you ask him. Amen?
Amen.
You got to ask. The next thing you got to do is to live a life of holiness. See, I'll never understand why this idea in Christianity creeped in. Because of the grace of God, people think they can live loose and fancy free, and God will still bless them. It does not work that way. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25 says, God says to Israel, he says, your sins and your iniquities have withholding good things from you. God is saying, I'm not withholding anything from you. It's your sins that do it. The reason why many of us are not getting good things from God is because we keep sinning. Now, I'm talking about habitual sin. I'm not talking about, okay, you know, I thought the wrong thought. I was mad at somebody for a week or whatever have you. I'm talking about people who just blatantly, utterly just go out and just do stuff deliberately and don't even ask God to forgive them. It's intentional. They don't even make a mistake. They just go out and sin. And then they still think that God is supposed to bless them. Well, what about mercy? What about grace? No. The grace of God is for those who will avail themselves of it through repentance.
Amen.
Praise God. When you repent, then God will give you his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he who hides his sin shall not prosper. But he who forsakes his, who confesses and forsakes his sin, shall have mercy. You want the mercy of God? Then confess and forsake your sin. You want to keep in your sin thinking, okay, well, God's going to be gracious no matter what I do. This is the age of grace. Jesus died for me. Do you know that every time you sin against God intentionally and do not repent of it, that you are just trampling upon the grace of God? Scripture says that. You read that in Hebrews chapter 10. New Testament, for those of y'all who think, okay, well, you just quoting me Old Testament. That's in the New Testament, baby. And then last week we said, do not give up. Say, do not give up.
Not give up.
During times of testing and seemingly unanswered prayer. This is, if it's not the meditation that hurts some people, if it's not the sin that hurts some people, there are people who will meditate on the scriptures. They will do everything right up to six. They will endeavor to live a holy life. They will try to please God. But when things don't seem to happen at the time they want to happen, they get hurt at step seven. They just lose it. Well, it's been a whole week and God ain't did it yet. I give up. I quit. Let me go to one of those loan shark places and get that money. No, stay in there. Hang in there. Praise God. Stand on that promise. Stand on the promise. I would rather go down fighting than to quit so easily on God. Amen. Especially after I've seen him bless me so much. You know, we didn't really finish. Let me give you a few more pointers from seven, and then we'll deal with number eight real quick, and then we're out of here. The thing we talked about last Sunday was that you are to stand in faith. You're not to give up when times of testing come. And then we talked about the fact that you have to keep your confession positive. Or when I say positive confession, I mean a confession that is in line with the Word of God. Praise God. Now, some people have the wrong idea about when we talk about positive confession. They think of some of the extreme name it and claim it type of teaching. And I believe in name it and claim it. I don't care what anybody says. You can criticize me, but I have named it, I have claimed it, and I have received. Praise God.
Amen.
My wife can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are extremes in every valid teaching. And there are some people who make positive confessions that are not anywhere near based on the Word of God. Some people go around claiming somebody else's husband and wife. I heard stories of this kind of stuff before. Yeah. I confess that she's going to be my wife. Man, I heard people praying for their wife to die in a plane crash. Oh, yeah. Heard a minister get up and confess that one day. Oh, yes. You talking about some extreme stuff. God has allowed me to hear some extreme stuff so I can share it with you. Just to let you know there's some extreme stuff out there. Man, there's some stuff I've heard in my ears that is unbelievable. But when we keep our confession in line with what the Word of God says, then we will always stand strong and we will always be in line with the Word of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, also understand this. What some people call positive confession is too close to Christian Science or Mind Science cults. Anybody familiar with Christian Science? Okay, well, one person. Well, let me explain to you what Christian Science is about in a nutshell. Christian Science is a group of people started by a woman named Mary Baker Eddy. Well, she got her teachings from some guy named Phineas Quimby or whatever have you. And their basic thought is, if you're sick, you are not supposed to say you're sick. Because the reason why is because the material world really doesn't exist to them. So if I'm sick, I'm supposed to say, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. If you're sick, say you're sick. Amen. See, we don't, you know, but and unfortunately, some of that idea creeped into the positive confession teaching too. And so people thought that, okay, if I'm sick, I'm not supposed to confess that I'm sick, because if I'm sick and I say I'm sick, that's a negative confession. Let me tell you something. I learned, if I'm sick, I will say, I'm sick. All right? If I need a doctor, I will say, I'm going to the doctor. Now, thank God, I usually don't need a doctor. You see, this is what I've learned to do. I will say, yes, I have a fever. But my confession is that Jehovah Rapha is my healer.
Amen.
The Bible says that by his stripes I am healed. The Bible says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I will pray, I will lay hands on myself, and I will recover in the name of Jesus. And I have always received his divine healing from God. Amen.
Amen.
I believe that it is the will of God to heal me physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I have received, based on my prayer and my confession, based on the word of God. But I have never, ever, ever denied the physical circumstances. Never, ever do that. Never, because what you're doing is lying. Well, I'm not sick. And why are you laying up in the bed then? Get up! No, just say, brother, I'm not feeling well. Yeah, they told me I got a fever, or they told me I got cancer, or whatever have you. But the Bible says, and then begin to say what the word of God says. The word of God says that he sent his word and healed me and delivered me from my destructions. Begin to just speak the speaking line with the word of God, and then God will begin to work. But God can't work with you if you're going to sit up there and lie. Amen? I'm going to show you that in the scripture in a moment. But remember, faith is not a denial of circumstances. Say that with me. Say, faith.
Faith
is not a denial,
of
circumstances. See, it's not a denial of circumstances. Neither is it pretending that things are different than what they really are. Faith is not pretending that things are different than what they really are. You have to acknowledge the truth of your circumstances. But then after you have acknowledged the truth of your circumstances, then you begin to acknowledge a higher truth. You see, my circumstances are real, but if my circumstances contradict what this book says, then this book has the power, the miraculous power, and the authority to change my circumstances. Praise God.
Amen.
If I am having problems with the devil and demons, then this book has the power and authority to change my circumstances. If I am having a problem with finances, then this book has the power to change my circumstances. See, when I go around and I say that, hey, since I am a tither and I am a giver, then God will open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I shall not have room enough to receive. Oh, my refrigerator may be empty right now, but I speak to you, refrigerator, and I say you must be changed. I say things you will fill up in the name of Jesus, because the Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
You speak the word of God with authority and watch your circumstances change. See, faith and a positive confession is based on the truth of God's word. It's based on the truth of God's word. There's more than one kind of truth. There is circumstantial truth, and then there is divine truth. Circumstances may be what they are, but divine truth will change the truth of my circumstances. And it will line, and the truth of my circumstances must line up with the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Now, I would never lie to anybody and tell you this kind of stuff is easy, because it ain't. We have grown up being moved by sight almost all our lives until we got saved. And then even then, we weren't always taught the truth. You knew that you were saved, so you know you didn't care about how you felt or what you saw, because the man said that you said this sinner's prayer and you saved, then you stood in faith for that. But all the other promises of God, you wanted to wait until you saw them before you could believe them. Well, now you gotta come into a new depth of knowledge and a new depth of reality, which is the Word of God. Now, in Romans chapter 4, it's talking about Abraham. And if those of you who are familiar with the story of Abraham, you remember that Abraham was old. And he had a wife that was old. And yet God told them, you're going to have a son. Now, Sarah was old. Abraham was old. But God told them they're going to have a son. Two old people trying to have a son. Well, circumstances did not seem to be lined up with what the Word of God said. Because both of them were beyond their child-producing years. They were beyond that. So God's Word and their circumstances seem to contradict one another. But I like what verse 18 says. When you read Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says, well, first let's read verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, this is the word of God to Abraham. This is God's word, God's promise to Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were. Now see, God knows that he can speak his word with authority and that his word will change the circumstances. And God wants you to speak in line with his word. He wants you to call those things that be not as though they were. Well, somebody once, you know, when we were teaching on this, somebody criticized this one time and said, well, the Bible says that God does this, not you. Well, ain't I supposed to do what God does? If God says something is one way, then why would I say the exact opposite? Faith is saying exactly what God says. Praise God. Amen. If God says that things are to be a certain way, then I am to say things are to be that way. Abraham did that by taking on the name Abraham. See, before, his name was Abram, without the Ham in it. His wife's name was Sarai, without the Sarah. It was Abram and Sarai. And so, what God did, he said that, I'm going to change your name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude or father of many nations. And he told Sarah, I'm going to change your name to Sarah, which means mother of a multitude or mother of many nations. And so, even before they had that child, even before they had their son, Isaac, Abraham had to go around and introduce himself. Yo, man, what's your name? My name is Father of Many Nations. Yeah, right. Oh, man, come in here talking about he's a father of many nations. Can't produce a child. See? And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to get laughed at because you're going to confess the word of God. I believe it when I see it, brother. But see, Abraham went on ahead and continued to introduce himself as Abraham. He went around saying that he was the father of many nations even before this thing was manifested physically. The reason why? Because he knew that the word of God could change his circumstances. So he kept a positive confession. Now look at verse 18. It says, who against hope? He's talking about Abraham. Who against hope believed in hope? See, everything, all the circumstances was going against Abraham. It was against him. But he still believed in expectation that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So Abram, continued, or Abraham continued to stand on the word of God, believe the word of God, even when all the circumstances were against what he wanted. I tell you, that encourages me right now. Verse 19 says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, the Bible says he considered not. You know, the word consider means to attentively fix one's eyes or mind upon something. Abraham did not deny his circumstances. He did not say, well, I'm not old. I'm young and viral. Ugh. He did not say any of that. He didn't go around saying, yeah, Sarah's only 16. She's only 17. He didn't go around lying. He acknowledged the truth. He acknowledged that he was old. He acknowledged that Sarah was old. But he also acknowledged that the word of God could change the circumstances and that they could receive the promised child. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And that is what you and I need to do. If we want to get the thing that we want from God, we need to learn to speak positively concerning the word of God. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That ends number 7. Let's see if we can get through 8 real quick. Look at verse 20. I want you to see something here in verse 20. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Say strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
Now, I want you to see this last part. Giving glory to God. Say that with me. Say giving glory.
Giving glory
to God.
To God.
Now, this is not just so much, okay, Abraham stood in faith, so God was glorified. But Abraham, other versions said that Abraham praised God. In spite of his circumstances, in spite of his situation, he glorified God. He continued to praise God anyhow. And you all know the end of the story. He got this promised son. Well, step number 8. After you have received that which you have petitioned God for, then be sure to glorify him and give him the credit. Amen?
Amen.
See, Psalm 67. There's 2 times to glorify and praise and worship God. Before you receive, and then after you receive. Say it with me. Say, I praise God.
I praise God.
Before I receive.
Before I receive.
And I praise God.
And I praise God.
After I receive.
After I receive.
Amen. You thank him before, and you thank him after. It's only polite. Anything else is just rude. All right. Psalm 67. We have it up on the board. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Verse 5. Verse 6 says, then. Say then.
Then.
See, then means if you meet the first prerequisite, then what's going to follow after the then comes as a result of the thing that came before the then. Did I confuse you?
Yeah.
Okay. One person was confused. Well, wait, stop for just one person. No, I'm just kidding. The thing is that let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. If you do this, what's going to happen is the earth shall yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us.
Amen.
Verse 7 says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. See, if the people praise God, then, conditional, shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. If you praise God, you praise God first, then you get the blessing. You don't praise God? Well, I'll praise him and I'll thank him after I receive. Then you'll never receive. So you praise him by faith before you see or feel. I like something that P.C. Nelson said. I don't know how many of you know P.C. Nelson. P.C. Nelson was an early Pentecostal pioneer. He was one of the founders of the Assemblies of God Church when they were actually Pentecostal. Oops. Anyway, praise God. P.C. Nelson was a taught a lot on speaking in tongues and divine healing back way back when it wasn't popular at all. It's somewhat popular now, but back then you got persecuted for teaching on them things. But he said this: lack of praise is an evidence of a lack of faith. For faith appropriates the promises and rejoices in them before there is any outward or visible evidence. So when I praise and I worship God and I'm thanking Him, before I see anything, it is an expression of my faith. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So you praise God before you receive. We looked at that in Romans chapter 4. But then you are to praise God after you receive. Say, I praise God.
I praise God.
Before I receive.
Before I receive.
And I praise God.
And I praise God.
After I receive.
After I receive.
Look with me at Luke chapter 17. This principle is taught very clearly in Luke 17. Begin at verse 11. I know we have it up on the board, but I kind of like to have my Bible open to it too. Luke 17, it says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them," say one of them.
One of them.
Now remember, there was 10 of them. But only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found there return to give glory to God save this stranger. And then he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, isn't that ingratitude? I mean, 10 people go and get healed, and only one person has enough gratitude to come back to God and say, Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Only one person. That's sad. Say that's sad. I tell you, I think it's sad. That's a sad thing when you have been blessed by God and yet you won't even come back and thank Him. And you know, I have seen people that have done that. I have a wide range of experience with people. And I have seen people where they have received from God, and once they receive from God, many of them, not only do they go back and thank God, but they backslide. They turn away from Him. Some of you Africans are well aware of this. Y'all know of people who have fasted and prayed when y'all was in Africa. Oh God, send me to the United States. God, if you send me to the United States, I will glorify your name. Oh, send me to the United States. And then a couple, after they got to the United States, you see them a year later, they out there drinking and partying and dancing. Amen? Is that gratitude or what? that's a lack of gratitude. I've seen, and it's not just true with Africans. I've seen that with Americans. I've seen that with Japanese. I have seen people get healed. I saw a lady get healed from cancer. God miraculously healed this woman, and she went right back into sin. How do you get healed from a death-destroying disease like that and then go right back into sin later on? Lack of gratitude. Not thanking God after you have received. But then, in a more theological aspect, I have seen some of us faith people who lack gratitude. Oh, we'll praise God and worship Him while we believe and we receive. I believe, I receive. Father, I thank you. Oh, I glorify your name. Hallelujah. And then once you receive that, yeah, I stood in faith. My faith got that blessing for me. Because I stood on the word of God. Just bragging on yourself. Bragging on your spiritual depth. Bragging on your spiritual standing. Oh, yeah. It's because I did this and I did that. You know, wouldn't it just be nice to just say, forget what I did. God gave me the blessing. I praise God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need to avoid spiritually patting ourselves on the back. Yes, it was my standing faith. Because I am so spiritual. I'm so spiritual. I'm so spiritual. No, we need to get away from that. We need to acknowledge that it is God alone to whom all from whom all blessings flow. Praise God and praise Him, all creatures here and below. We need to learn to stop bragging on ourselves. I like Romans chapter 3, verse 27 in the God's Word version. Let me show that one to you. It says, Romans 3, 27 and 28, coming from the God's Word translation. So, do we have anything to brag about? Bragging has been eliminated. On what basis was it eliminated? On the basis of our own efforts? No, indeed. Rather, it is eliminated on the basis of faith. We conclude that a person has God's approval by faith, not by his own efforts. Let me try to help you understand something about faith. Faith is nothing more than the hand that receives the blessing from God. It's nothing more than that. If you got greater faith than me, glory to God, that means you got a bigger hand to reach out to get the thing you need from God. I just need to develop my faith to catch up with you so that I can have a bigger hand to reach out to what God wants to give me in the first place. But it is not something, I am not to be commended on what great faith I have, at least not by myself. If God commends me, that's one thing. For me to commend myself is something totally different. And God usually does commend people. He'll say, oh man, it's your faith that got you through. But let God brag on you. Don't brag on yourself. You need to learn this, because if you don't learn to have gratitude, then you won't get anything else from God. If you are impolite, forget about getting anything else from Him until you repent of your ingratitude. I was telling the story earlier, some of you weren't here, when we were doing our prayer session. And I was talking about how I was when I was a young baby Christian, and I think my wife will remember this. And we were at this church, we were at our first church where I just got saved. I think I had been saved only a couple months. And, you know, I was very much involved. I was getting involved in the church. I was an usher. I was singing in the choir. I was there at all the meetings and stuff like that, because, I just felt so much in love with Christ. And, you know, and I could start sensing the call upon my life, you know, knowing that God had called me into ministry. But, you know, I wasn't going to jump in there at a young age. And a lot of other people began to sense it too. They began to see the call of God on my life. And so one day, one Sunday, one of the deacons wasn't there to do the praying that he was supposed to do. And so, you know, because they had seen my faithfulness, the leaders asked me to pray in his stead. And so because the anointing of God was on me at the time, I began to pray. And God just began to move. I mean, a wave of revival went through that church. I mean, you know, people, I saw deliverances start to take place, and people were just receiving Jesus. I mean, things started happening. And I was looking, I'm just amazed at myself, because when I got up there first, I was nervous. But then the words started flowing out of me through the Spirit of God, and God began to move, and I got amazed, and then I started getting the big head. I said, look at what my prayer did. Look at me. I'm bad. I'm all powerful. Woo! Yeah, I was swelled up. I mean, you know, everybody started patting me on the back after the service was over. Man, Troy, that was good. Man, God bless you. You remember that time, though? You probably, I don't know if you remember it or not. I think you were pregnant at the time. It don't matter. I mean, people would pat me on the back. I mean, ministers was coming up to me saying, "Brother, God's got a call on your life." I mean, you know, and I just went home. Boy, my head was so big. And this is why the Bible says, do not ever put a novice in the office of a bishop or an office of an elder, because he will get into pride and he will fall under the condemnation of the devil. And I got into pride big time. I went home with my head swelled. So the very next Sunday, they said, "Oh, man, Troy, God bless us so much. We need you to pray again." Even though the other deacon was there, he was willing to just step aside and let me pray. So the first week I got up there with humility and nervousness. This Sunday I'm up there haughty, high-minded. Just know that God's about to move again. So I said almost the same prayer, verbatim, the same words. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing happened. I mean, people were sitting there looking like, "Will you just shut up? When is this going to be over? Ooh, I got to roast an oven." I mean, so it was just like, they were just fed up. And I guarantee you, I was never asked no more Sundays ever again to pray. But see, that's because I got my head so swelled up, I lost gratitude, and God was unable to bless. You want God to bless? Show some gratitude. Stop thinking of yourself as somebody. Stop thinking just because you were able to receive from God in the past that you're just some great giant of faith. You're just so super spiritual. You're just Joe Almighty. You're the next thing best to Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. This ends our series of lessons on this topic. Not to get anything you want from God. I really hope that this series has blessed you. If you have not been a part of this whole series, we'll have the CDs out soon. But we also have the book in the back that covers all these things.